Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Yeah, like I said, if you're going to do a sports show, it'd probably be a good idea to prep. But that's why I asked Mr. Greg DeMarc to come on this show tonight, because I know he's on point. I just got to get it together. So in a few short minutes, we're going to be talking with Greg DeMarc, and he's also going to be joining us throughout the whole show. But the phone number is 646-668-8672. The phone number is 646-668-8672. Let us bring our good friend, one of the hosts of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, 313, Mr. Greg DeMarc, is on with us. What's up, Greg?
Good evening, Martez. Thank you so much for having me, man. I've been excited about this all day. This is going to be a lot of fun.
We'll see, man. I might need you to carry me. I might need you to carry me. Put me on your back, man, because I'm all over the place, brother.
And man, I do see to my pants with the best of them. So this is perfect. This is like my element. I'm the type of guy, I don't like to plan. I don't like to make plans because they always get screwed up. Just roll with it, try to enjoy it, and life turned out all right.
That's kind of my style, but it always some kind of way bite me in the butt when I don't plan and prep, because it's funny. Sometimes I have to speak at church, and even when it comes down to lessons at church, I wait to the last minute to study and teach, and then sometimes I get exposed when I haven't really studied well enough. But it's all good. It is what it is.
I have to do the last second study thing, so it's fresh in my head when I need it.
Right. As we always do, this isn't a religious program, but I always like to thank God for giving us another chance to do a show like this, giving us the ability to talk sports. You know, you might hear some cursing, but it won't be from me. It may be from Greg. I don't know, because I really.
I was gonna tell you when I messaged you earlier. I can do PG too.
Okay. I want you to do you though. You know, we might be able to do rated R. You know, maybe not X rated. Rated R is. It's pretty good. But it's so much to talk about. I know you're a huge Steelers fan. I know we want to talk about that. I'm excited about Michigan football. The Big Ten football just started back this past Saturday, and Michigan looked really, really good. And I do want to talk about that tweet that Ron Artest or Meta Rural Peace put out talking about the Pistons, the 2004 Pistons, and how they can beat I think he said they can beat the top five any top five basketball team in NBA history. I think that's what he said. Basically, he was saying that the Pistons can beat anybody. But first, Greg, I know in our little prep messenger meeting, you wanted to talk about OBJ.
And not just him, but, man, it was another tough weekend in the NFL injury-wise. So, yeah, the OBJ is torn his ACL in his left knee, and he's going to miss the entire season. And what's wild about it, man, tore his ACL under crazy circumstances for the second game in a row. On the very first throw of the game, Baker Mayfield throws an interception that, you know, was returned for a touchdown, and OBJ tears his ACL trying to tackle a guy.
that's terrible, man, trying to help out the team, and he ends up getting injured. But it's like, what will go wrong with the Cleveland Browns. You know, just when you felt like they were starting to get their legs up under their feet. I mean, get it going. This happens. You know, they've been playing relatively well, but like you say, OBJ.
I was slightly intimidated by them as an opponent. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Steelers more here in a bit, but, you know, going into that, I did not take Cleveland lightly. They were, you know, right there at the top of the North coming in. Baker Mayfield, you know, kind of crapped the bed. And, you know, Pittsburgh comes out on top, you know, decisively. And then, you know, then this happens. But Baker Mayfield comes back, completes like 23 or 21 out of 23. The other incompletion was actually a spike on their game-winning drive. Was like, besides the pick, it was like after starting 0 for 5, he had like two incomplete passes to finish the game. But, yeah, Resilient Browns, they come in. I mean, they're still in it. It's just tough for them being in the division with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, you're almost like looking at a wild card from the beginning, honestly.
Absolutely, and it's going to be tough, you know, because I don't see Lamar Jackson and those boys like taking a back seat to the Cleveland Browns, and I definitely don't see the Steelers in the back seat to the Cleveland Browns. And the Steelers, like at this point, they should be the odds-on favorite to not just get the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. Like Ben Roethlisberger is playing out of his mind, and I thought he was clearly washed up a couple years ago, but apparently he's not. Mike Tomlin. I thought Mike Tomlin would have been fired a couple years ago.
Oh, my God. You too? Why?
Yeah,
you know, okay, he's about to tie a record with how many winning seasons to start a career. He's had, like, I believe it's 17. And then when he makes 18, he'll break another. He'll, you know, set it on its own. But all these, right, especially their Steelers fans, they're awful, like wrestling fans. They're awful marks. And you'd be surprised in these Steeler fan groups. Everybody wants to fire Tomlin. Like, why? And you brought up, and we're going to talk about him more later, the 2004 Pistons. And here's what pisses me off. You got a coach that's taking you within 2-3 games of the finals every year. You're going to fire that guy? Are you freaking kidding me? You know? And you got Big Shot Billups. And you know, trade him for a washed up Allen Iverson and dump your stud coach, and the Pistons haven't won since. The Pistons team, we're going to talk about, could beat any team.
Anything. And I can't wait to talk about that a little bit later, because Larry Brown should have never been let go, or they allow him to resign, but Bill Davidson was going to fire him because I guess he had an interview with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, if somebody's – I don't expect you to stay at one job your whole life. Even if you do stay at a job your whole life, it's okay to see what another job is talking about. It's okay to do that. But I definitely want to talk about that, because I thought that was bad. It only went downhill from there with the Pistons. But back to Mike Tomlin, I understand what you're saying, Greg, but there were some dull years for the Steelers. And the Steelers are used to – going to the playoffs on a regular basis. The Steelers are used to being part of the Super Bowl picture in some kind of way. And losing the
playoff games
the
at home. We're used to playoff games at home.
And I think Southwest just called in. Gosh, maybe he'll call back. His number is not on the screen anymore. The Steelers are poison. Honestly, Greg, I haven't been watching much NFL this year because it's been too politicized. Politicizing, that's really like been a Debbie Downer for me. That has been too political, so I haven't been really watching.
That's another thing I love about this platform. We never talk about politics. It's irrelevant. Anything that interests we share don't involve politics. We've never had a political conversation, actually. We've talked about a lot of things. Politics, not one of them, because it doesn't matter. This is an escape from that crap.
Exactly.
Entire platform. It's wrestling, it's sports, it's everything but that crap.
Right. So that's good. That's good we don't touch on that, because I actually find this, and I'll be real brief, I find this whole political stuff to be super super crazy and a joke, especially how people get crazy about it. People lose their mind, want to kill each other because of
this part. Start insulting each other, and I just shake my head. That's what it is like.
It's nuts.
And it's everywhere. People can't talk about anything without it, you know, coming into question.
Bro, it is everywhere. And we said we weren't going to talk about politics, but look at us. We're talking about it a little bit. But I'm so ready for this to be over with because
we're talking about not talking about it. That's different.
You're right. You got a point. I hate Facebook because of this political bull crap, man. I just do, man. The news. I'm tired of the news, you know, because it's political bull crap. And even if I support Trump or not, I'm getting tired of that. You know, Trump every day. It's annoying. You might disagree, but I'm getting tired of the Black Lives Matter stuff. That's just me. I don't want to hear about every
because
single.
I agree. For probably a different reason, for, you know, the same reason that it goes back to, you know, the political stuff that, oh, God, has been so forced down our throat, especially the last 3 to 6 months. Can't watch YouTube, like you say, can't scroll Facebook. If it's not an ad, it's, you know, seeing my friends, you know, that participate in the, you know, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It definitely is. But we had to get that out of our system. And the Steelers are 6-0. They're 6-0. They got Baltimore coming up this week. That's going to be a great game. It's always a great game between those
That's
two.
That's the test.
Yes,
That's
I love
the
that
test.
Rivalry.
The one besides the Chiefs, it's the one team I'm scared of. And you know, it's going to be hard to believe this especially for me. I mean, I got a Steeler tattoo on my left shoulder. I was born in Pittsburgh. I was born in Monongahela Hospital. But the Steelers scare me. They gave Tennessee way too much life on Sunday. They were up 20 points, almost blew it. It came down to a missed field goal. The Titans missed a field goal that would have tied the game with, man, like 30 seconds left, maybe 40. The Steelers took one knee to end it. But, I mean, I was, you know, concerned about that game because watching them and as a fan, and it's another thing, you know, sometimes Tomlin makes decisions that don't do him any favors for the haters, you know. You know, make big fourth down decisions or what, but also – a way the Steelers have won with Tomlin because he has the guts to do something crazy, something out of the box. And I feel like more often than not, it works for him.
Yeah. And I liked it about him. He definitely doesn't believe in the field goal. Not that much. No, he'll go for two whenever he has a chance to. And I definitely respect
Or go for four on fourth down, fourth and one, fourth and two. And it's like, oh, my God, we could have used those 3 points. But, you know, and then you got to trust your instinct. And a guy that's been that successful, I trust him. But the Steelers, yeah. I'm concerned for them, especially at Baltimore. And I'll say it because it's the truth. Baltimore might be the better team. Pittsburgh has shown they can be that team, especially in the first quarter, Bennett completed passes to like 12 receivers. And, you know, both his tight ends, Deontay Johnson is healthy finally. And, you know, Chase Claypool has emerged as a superstar. And obviously Juju. And, I mean, I was telling my wife, she was watching the game, she isn't such a fan. I said, you know, Juju gets the best defender plus one guy. So you got to have one more good guy that can catch the ball, at least one more guy. That's why we're in a day and age where every team has to have two or three damn near number one receivers. Because defenders are getting better too. Every team has a good corner and a really good safety.
Yeah, and for a minute, far-fetched idea. I thought they would have made a run for AD. And scooped him up before Tampa Bay did. because they do need it. I think they do need another receiver, somebody that can stretch the field.
The Steelers don't, and they certainly don't need that guy.
No,
that guy is a mess. Don't even get me started on that guy. Le'Veon Bell too. I was so salty that he went to a good team. I was just but here's something that is amusing to me. I mean, yeah, Le'Veon Bell is going to ultimately get $8.5 million this year. AB's contract like maxes out. It's like $2.5 million, and a lot of those incentives, he only gets his incentives if they make the playoffs, and another, I think it's $750,000 incentive. They have to win the Super Bowl. But, man, that's a dangerous team over there in Tampa Bay now, especially with Antonio Brown. I hated seeing him go there. But Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell right now collectively are making much less than either one of them would have made in Pittsburgh under what they were offered had they just, you know, stuck around and decided to win. The Steelers never made a run with that whole, you know, dream team healthy. The 1 year Bell got hurt at the end of the season, he tore his ACL. The other year, AB got knocked upside his nugget piece, and he was, you know, missed like two games with a concussion in the playoffs. They never made a run with that whole team healthy, and it would have been cool to see if they could have done it with everybody healthy, but that's the nature of the NFL. It's like they say in wrestling, not ballet.
Yeah.
And we've seen Andy Dalton got knocked out. Kenyon Drake is going to miss some weeks. OBJ is lost for the season.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a lot of turmoil. A lot of turmoil, especially down in Cleveland. But speaking of wrestling, we do have a phone call. I'm pretty sure Jason is going to want to talk about wrestling. You ready to take this phone call?
My Jason?
Yeah, you're Jason. Yeah. all right, Jason, you're on Talk of Sports with Detroit with Martez and Greg.
What's up?
What's up, Jason?
How's it going?
Shit, pretty good. Just watching the rest of Hell in a Cell.
So did you catch any football this weekend, man? Did you see that miracle that the Lions pulled off with zeros on the clock?
Yes. I was watching like the highlights yesterday at work.
Unbelievable.
When I saw that, I told my coworkers, they're like, they won? I'm like, yes, barely.
Yeah, and I got to give Matthew Stafford credit because Matthew Stafford was highly poised. Even the announcer was saying that, hey, don't give Matthew Stafford the ball with this such and such minutes to go. And Matthew Stafford, he led that team down there and gave them the victory. So I really credit that win to Matthew Stafford because he wasn't about to.
Much like I defend Tomlin, I've been defending Stafford to my friends for years. I'm obviously not a Lions fan. I'm a Steelers fan. I could care. It used to be amusing to me, but so many people I love, I've seen hurt by the Lions so many times. But I ask these people that hate on Stafford, all right, who would you hire? Who would you hire? All right, cut him, trade him. Who can you get that's better than Matthew Stafford? He's a top 5-10 quarterback. And, you know, you can't argue that. Like, he's not perfect. He's not Drew Brees. But, you know, I would take him over Flacco, and Flacco went to Denver and was not the guy that won the Super Bowl in Denver with the number one defense on the earth. You know what I mean?
But Greg, the moment he marched that team down to the marched that team all the way down, I said to myself, I got to give him credit because I was one of those people that
I love that guy.
Oh man. He's good, man. He's good. You know, and I compare him to people like Jay Cutler, and he's not Jay Cutler because I always thought he was an interception machine. Am I wrong about that? Because I always thought Stafford was.
I don't love Jay Cutler. I like Stafford. I really do like Stafford. I don't think his interception ratio is so bad, and the guy has had it rough. Like, yeah, he had Megatron, but that was it. And I brought that up when I was talking about, you know, how every team has to have it. You got to have more. You got to have a running game. You have to have a whole balanced team. And Stafford has had few opportunities to have a whole balanced offense to play with. I think Stafford, his whole career, has been a top 5 or 10 quarterback in the NFL.
He has been. And, you know, if you listen to people on ESPN for years, brother, for years, ESPN analysts would say Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I can never understand. And really, Detroit Talk Radio, if you listen to the sports talk radio in Detroit, they wouldn't understand why the people like Peter King, like Adam Scheffner, Louis Riddick, people like that would say that Matthew Stafford was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like us in Detroit, we never got it, but I get it now. The guy is good. The guy is big time. If you go over to a team like
I think I have an unbiased opinion of the guy too, and that's why I see it different than. Because some people, you know, you like certain guys fumble and they hurt your feelings. I have a friend whose father is a Giants fan and will say real Giants fans absolutely hated Odell Beckham. And they'll give you 20 exact examples where that guy shit the bed when they needed him to come up.
From afar, I agree with those Giant fans. Cause I always felt like Odell never came through in the clutch. Even that Green Bay playoff game where before the playoff game, I guess they him along with a few other teammates, they went on some party, like a boat party, like a couple of days before the game, and they actually kind of wet the bed during that playoff game. And those were one of the games where I felt like he didn't show up, man. So I kind of agree with those Giant fans. Just to let everybody know, you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Talking Sports from Detroit. I'm so unprepared tonight, folks. My name is Martez, but I'm happy I got Greg here tonight. Greg, I knew Greg was on the carry show. Greg is the man.
As always, I'm just here to have fun, man.
Oh, yeah. Jake, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Woo! Man. So, yeah, so my friends were like, the Lions won. I was like, yeah, barely 23-22. And then I had to, well, it looks like we found a team that, as of right now, this season is worse than the Lions.
Yeah.
With it being the Falcons, 1-6.
And what can we say? Like, what more can you say about the Falcons? The Falcons are the most underachieving team I've ever seen in my life. You know, it goes all the way back to the Super Bowl. Choking.
Yeah, they're
Bowl.
Like last year's Browns.
Yes, yes. You got Matt Ryan. You got Julio Jones. You had a lot of studs on that team for
Todd
years.
Gurley.
Todd Gurley. And before that, Antonio Freeman. He was doing good for a couple of years. The Falcons, it's time for them to break that team up. It just is.
That might be one with a problem that starts at the top, man, because like you said, how are you going to have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Todd Gurley and suck? Come on now.
It's a culture thing. Is that what you're saying? It starts from
ownership? Is it? I don't know. I mean, you got Matt Ryan. You just said it. You got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Todd Gurley, and you suck. What's the problem? I don't know. I'm not a big Falcons fan, but that's not good evidence to the higher ups there, you know.
Yeah. And look, but check this out. I say this a lot about the Fords. It's not like the Lions haven't went out and tried to draft good people. It's not like the Lions haven't went out and tried to trade for good people or sign good people. It really seems like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they get as a coach. It doesn't matter who they select as a player. They never get over the hump. So, at the end of the day, I directed towards management. And management for the Detroit Lions has been a complete dumpster fire. It's been a complete horrible organization since I've been living. One playoff victory since 1991. Are you kidding me? One playoff victory since 1991. 0-16 season. So many atrocious seasons. Like
historically bad.
Historically bad.
the historically bad season. I was rooting for him to go in 16 because that's just hilarious.
Yeah. Wow. All right, we're at the 30-minute mark of the show. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back, and we'll probably shift towards Michigan football and Detroit Pistons, the 2004 Pistons, and whatever else we come up with. This is Talking Sports with Detroit on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash.
I'll take a Coke. Is Pepsi okay?
Is Pepsi okay?
Is Pepsi okay? Ow!
Our puppy's okay. He's a shooting star, okay? It's the laughter of a small child, okay? Are you with me? You seem confused. Let's role play. Now.
Okay, I'm Steve. I'm an actor.
No. Just order something.
You'll
have a nice cold glass of the best thing you ever tasted. Okay?
Okay.
I think you might be just saying it wrong. You gotta say it with pride, okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Pepsi's more than okay. It's... Okay, what have we learned today?
You want a Pepsi?
I want a Pepsi.
She wants a Pepsi. There you go.
Like a little John.
Okay.
I've got to come up with my own catchphrase.
Okay.
Ooh, Blackberry's Bublé, my favorite.
You mean bubbly.
No, I mean Bublé.
You're Michael Bublé. That's the bubbly.
She's right, Michael Bublé. It's pronounced Bublé. I know, thanks. Dave.
Can I have your autograph, Mr. Bubbly?
It's Bublé. Bublé?
It's Bubbly.
Sparkling water. Back it, Michael. Don't do that.
I'm a clothes talker, so I was excited about all new Colgate Total. Its breakthrough formula does more.
Wonderful.
Sensitivity, strength and teeth, it kills germs through my whole mouth.
I like your confidence.
Thanks, Mr. Lee. Now there's no such thing as too close.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
Okay.
All new Colgate Total. Do more for your whole mouth.
All right, we're back. Talking Sports from Detroit with Martez, along with the great Greg DeMarc, is here in the house tonight, right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. It is 7:30. We're taking you all the way up to 7:50 tonight, so we got about 20 minutes to go with the show. We still got to cram 2004 Pistons into this show, and we got to cram Michigan football and whatever else Greg would like to talk about. So, Greg, this Saturday, man, this past Saturday, oh, man, Big Ten return. The Big Ten return in a major way. As we all know, the Big Ten didn't start on time because for whatever reason, the president of the Big Ten, he didn't feel like it was safe enough to play football during this COVID-19 stuff. But lo and behold, they came to an agreement, and the Big Ten decided to come back and play. And the Big Ten kicked off, like I said, this past Saturday. Michigan Wolverines took on the Minnesota Gophers. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a beatdown happened. What a beatdown on Saturday night. I was very impressed with the Michigan Wolverines. It seemed like they're poised to make a run, hopefully, for the college football playoff. Joe Milton was playing out of his mind. I'm already in love with this new quarterback that we have. I'm glad we have a mobile quarterback now. No disrespect to the dropback quarterbacks that we've had over the years, but I'm so happy we've got somebody that's a little versatile. And the running backs, we got like a four-headed crew, four different running backs that can give you good yards. The running backs play good. The receiving core was off the hook, and the defense was stout. If you go back and look at that game, in Michigan, they were able to capture two different turnovers during that game. So I was left happy with the Michigan Wolverines. I think they're ready to finally beat Ohio State. This year. Did you get a chance to watch the game, or do you know anything about the game?
I did not get a chance to watch the game. But
yeah.
I don't know so much about Michigan football, but let me ask you this. Do you feel like that game and the way it went, did that prove that Michigan was underrated with an 18 ranking nationally, or maybe that Minnesota was overranked in it being in the top 25 period?
Good question, man. I think Michigan was properly ranked, especially after the loss they suffered from Alabama and Ohio State. The last two losses to end the season last year, Michigan got boat raced. Michigan got destroyed by Ohio State. They got destroyed by Alabama. So coming into the season, I think Michigan, they were properly rated. Now, Minnesota. Minnesota had a great season last year. Minnesota, they were this close to getting into the college football playoff. So their ranking, I get it, because they had a lot of seniors coming back. They had a lot of juniors coming back. But sometimes talent overweighs experience, and that's what happened Saturday night. Michigan, they're known to get top rated talent, and Minnesota isn't. You get what I'm saying? So that like talent over experience that was the reason Michigan won the other night, because Michigan just had too much talent, too much power, and Minnesota has never really been able to defeat Michigan at all. So I really wasn't surprised. And Michigan got a big game this week against Michigan State, so we gotta keep that up, Greg.
They gotta beat Wisconsin. They gotta beat Penn State, and they got to beat Ohio State. Ohio State right now, I believe they regained the number one ranking. They were, I think, ranked third. But, you know, and like you said, they got murdered, but they lost to Ohio State and Alabama. There's no shame in losing to either of those two teams. I mean, you said they did kind of get the full business. But, it's a new year. These guys are – it's a new team. They're bringing a lot of – guys back. There's a lot of experience on this Michigan team, but man, if they can, that's where I think their biggest obstacles are going to be on November 14th at home against Wisconsin and at home against Penn State. That are going to be their biggest challenges, and they're going to have a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence going to Ohio State in December. If they can be undefeated at that point, I think they should be in the conversation.
Absolutely. And Michigan has the hardest schedule in the Big Ten. Like, the Big Ten didn't give Michigan an easy schedule. So if Michigan can get out of those, get through those games that you talked about and get to Ohio State with no loss, then Michigan, they have a gigantic opportunity to knock off the Ohio State Buckeyes. And here's the reason why, Greg. I think year six of Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, they're tired of losing to Ohio State. That's the number one reason. I think this is the year to get over the hump. But this year they have
God.
That guy.
I hate Ohio.
Me too.
That whole city, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Ohio State, all of them. Man,
ooh,
God,
woo.
Just beat them.
Ooh. Woo. Wow, Greg, that's how you feel, huh?
Man, I was born in Pittsburgh. I grew up here, and I learned one thing is that we were raised to be anti-Ohio, right? I mean, it's Michigan, Ohio State. It's Pittsburgh and Cleveland. That's how I was raised. So, man, and Michigan has the opportunity, having that schedule, to have the resume to be in the conversation for the, to make it to the national championship.
And that's all we want, Greg. That's all we want. Just be in a conversation. And then the committee.
Yeah, to have the opportunity is there.
Yep. Because believe it or not, the national media, even the committee, they want Michigan in that college football playoff. Michigan got to hold up their end of the bargain. If you listen to the national media, if you listen to Kurt Herbstreit, who announced the game last night, he was basically kissing – I don't want to say what I want to say, but he was kissing Michigan's you-know-what, man. And the national media wants that Michigan brand. It's been a long time since that Michigan brand has been in a prominent spot, like a college football playoff. So Michigan has to hold up their end of the bargain. We got about a few minutes to go within this show, so I'm going to
Are you surprised
right.
it took Harbaugh this long to get him to that prominent level? Because folks were shitting on him like they were, you know, Stafford and Tomlin. He was getting the same type of heat, but he was struggling when he first came in. Did he just inherit a lemon? Or was there that much work to be done?
Ah, good question. In my opinion, he's done a great job from year one and year six. He's done a great job. We've had several 10-win seasons. Not just one, not just two,
I agree.
Not just three. We had several 10-win seasons. The only issue is that when it comes down to that one fateful game in Columbus or in Ann Arbor, when they take on Ohio State, that's the only thing people are pissy about, is that he couldn't beat Ohio State. And even in the bowl games, he didn't beat Florida State. He didn't beat Alabama. He didn't beat Florida. So that was a black eye towards Jim Harbaugh. But I think he's done a great job.
I loathe Alabama and Nick Saban. I'm so sick of Alabama. I'm so sick of them winning. I would actually rather see Ohio State than Alabama. Anybody but Alabama at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Hey.
Are you not tired of Alabama? Are you not tired of the Roll Tide dynasty? Oh, and their fans, they'll let you have it. And they deserve it because, man, those guys just win. Man, it's like watching paint dry watching an Alabama game. It's a defense and field goal fest, but damn it, they win. And they keep a good team, man. They'll have six guys go in the first round of the draft, and we'll be in the conversation next year, undefeated, sitting there at Christmas talking about, they're always in the conversation. That's why I would like for Michigan to go on a run, get some decisive victories, like against Wisconsin. They obviously be rooting for Penn State on the 28th. But, I mean, if they can win some of these games and win them decisively, and obviously it must beat Ohio State.
No. Must win. Must win. Simple as that.
Must win.
With about 10 or 11 minutes to go within this show, because we're going to cut it off like around 7:53 today. Detroit Pistons, 2004 Pistons. Trying to find that tweet because I don't want to misquote it.
The main event of the evening. So we touched on a little earlier. I agree. And let me make one point to that. This team started the All-Star game, if you remember. It's the same core group of guys, dude. Ben, Rashid, Rip, Chauncey, and Tayshaun. And except Tayshaun. He was the one guy that didn't make it, and they put his number on their shoes because Tayshaun should have been there. Yeah. He should have at least been there as a reserve. That team, there was no superstars on that 2004 championship team. They didn't need a superstar. They were the best team. They were a brotherhood. They were like brothers. They thought as one brain. They worked as one machine. There were no egos. There's Ben. There's Rashid. God, I love Rashid Wallace, man. It was I completely agree with Ron Artest or Meta World Peace that I put that team up against any team.
Right, and what's so cool about this? Ron Artest was in the thick of the battles with these guys. He was like at that
Malice
for a couple
at the
years.
Palace. Malice at the Palace.
Yep. Never forget it. Never forget. And that's when the NBA sort of changed. They changed the rules. After that happened, like that changed everything. That's why you can't really be too aggressive anymore in the NBA because of that night, and I'll never forget it. But for a guy like that was caught up in a heated battle with the Pistons, to come out and really keep it real, like, hey, this team can go up against anybody and win. You know, this team still doesn't get enough credit for that championship. Oh, Shaq and Kobe, they were
now the teams I think of, the Spurs dynasty, Golden State's little dynasty, and obviously Jordan's team. I put them over the Jordan teams easily. Ooh. More easily than even that Spurs team, because that Spurs dynasty had a lot of talent and they were deep, you know, and
yeah.
The same with that Golden State team. They were deep. Those would have been, I mean, if you could, you know, using fantasy booking, you know, 2K type, you know,
yeah.
Simulation, those would be, I think, better matchups than seven-game series for sure. But, man, Pistons over the Jordans, Bulls in five or six, but six or seven, you know, no matter who wins against the goal. There's not another team I can think of that can even stand up to that 2004 Pistons team. Can you think of another one?
Heck to the gnaw. Heck to the non.
Not LeBron's Heat either. They don't even stand up to that Pistons team. The Bosh, Wade, LeBron, that championship Miami team does not stand up to that 04 Pistons team, in my opinion.
It's almost like that 04 Pistons team would welcome that challenge to take on a team like that just to prove a point. Because the Lakers were a heavy favorite. Like, people thought the Lakers were going to shoot the Pistons out of the gym. People thought the Lakers were just going to run
the Lakers.
First ever five-game sweep. First ever five-game sweep.
No team had ever won because it was like 1-3, two, like the no one had ever won the three in a row. And that was another one of the advantages of having the, you know, the advantage that the Lakers had that year, and they took it from them. They took every advantage from them. Yeah, and they were supposed to cream us. Nobody gave us a chance.
Even Detroiters were like, let's just be happy that we won an Eastern Conference championship. Even Detroiters, they didn't.
Yeah, and then fast forward very few years, we're firing Flip Saunders because he makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals every year.
They did him dirty, bro. They did him so dirty, man.
So dirty. And Chauncey, everybody should have been fired when they made them two moves. Like, okay, yeah, you blew it, brother.
Absolutely. Blew it. Man, oh, man. But, yeah, that I'm right there with you. That team, I don't think they'll be able to beat that team. They will lock you down on defense. They would lock you down on defense, and you couldn't do nothing. You know, once you had Lindsey Hunter, you had Mike James, that will lock you down before you even reach the other side of the court. The Pistons, they were that team, man. They were definitely that team.
I know.
Now,
and the highest legislation in the Pistons organization screwed that up. That team could have went, you know, I think they could have been a force for a lot longer than they were. When I don't understand when they do that, they'll just decide, all right, we need to break this up. We need to start over. Like, why? You're so good, you know? And I understand, you know, guys leaving free agency. That wasn't an issue here. They traded Chauncey. He didn't want to leave. Flip didn't want to leave.
For Allen Iverson.
Tayshaun didn't want to leave when they traded him to Memphis.
And if I remember, it just went downhill.
Here and he didn't want to leave. Rashid traded two here and didn't want to leave.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Greg. Wow. Interesting times, man. I always wish we can go back to those times because we definitely don't have a winner right now, right here in Detroit. But Greg, here on Talking Sports from Detroit, whenever I do prep and whenever I am ready to come on air, unlike I am tonight, we have a soundbite of the day. So I'm going to play the soundbite of the day, and then you let me know what you remember about it, even if you remember this at all. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the soundbite of the day.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Do you remember that?
I do. That's Mike Tyson, right?
Yes.
Who can forget the I will eat your children promo? That was great, man. I was younger. I'm 39 now. I would guess maybe around 12, 13. That was at the height of Mike Tyson, man.
Yes, sir. He was trying to get at Lennox Lewis.
Yes.
He really wanted to fight Lennox Lewis, and that's who he was talking about. I think he was talking about Lennox Lewis and his kid. Let's play it again. Let's play it again.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
How wasn't he in jail after that?
I use and know a lot of big words. But impregnable? What? I have an idea what that means.
I never picked up on that.
Impetuous? I'm not familiar with that one, but, man, it came off lit, didn't it?
It did, bro. And it was lit. It was lit.
Yes, it was lit. And we're still talking about it. It's got to be... Man, it's got to be 25, 30 years later, and it is, and you hear, you know, you see memes with references made to how I want to eat your children. I want your heart. I want to eat your children.
Crazy, bro. Crazy, crazy. One more time before we get out of here, man. One more time. Okay.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Why the children, though? Why the
impetuous and impregnable.
Hey, that's Mike Tyson.
Oh, I love it.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to another edition, the season finale. Talking sports from Detroit. I want to thank Greg for stepping in and joining me tonight. Hopefully you can do it again next season. Man,
anytime
Jason,
you want,
you
buddy,
talking.
Just give me a call. That was so much fun. It's always a good time with you, man.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure, man. I appreciate you. Don't forget, we got a lot of great shows coming up this week, and one of those is the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. With Greg, and hopefully Southwest will be back. We praying for him. I don't know if you got any new updates on him, but I talked to him last night. But hopefully he's doing well or getting better.
I talked to him 5 minutes before we went on air.
That's what a good best friend's supposed to do, man.
Yeah, I've talked to him 10 times a day. He actually called me when he got out of surgery, and we actually were talking about Thursday and whether he's going to make it, and he's going to at least make an appearance. I've got plans and ideas. I'm making plans again. Here we go. Our plans got spoiled 13 minutes to air last week, but I do have plans for the finale, and it's going to be a fun time like always.
Sweet. Looking forward to it. All right, everybody.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas song selection show.
Oh, yeah. I almost made a mistake and played a Christmas song before I played the Mike Tyson song. But hopefully you can call in, man, and request something. But
I will. Okay. I promise I will.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. All right. For Martez, for Greg, this is Talking Sports from Detroit. We'll see you next year. God bless everybody. Be safe and... Apple.